This is Cat's Podcast, episode number 20. Welcome, everyone. I'm Cat, I'm your host. Welcome back to another Freedom Lifestyle edition. And today I'm super happy to have my friend Cat Kennedy on the show again. Cat was here. She was actually one of my very first guests. She was on episode number 3 last year. And today she's here for a freedom update. Kat is a yoga teacher. She is an international retreat leader and a plant-based food creator. She's doing caterings, and if you follow her Instagram stories, you'll see what she's creating every day with music and love, and it's really inspiring. For me, Kat is really the embodiment of living freedom and joy in your everyday life. And if you're in need for some sunshine, or you're looking for a bit more lighthearted episode, this one is definitely for you, because Kat has such a joyful nature. She's laughing a lot, and it's really an episode that will make you smile. And also, her wisdom is so simple, you could easily write it on sticky notes and put them all over your place and be reminded of these little everyday wisdoms every day. So this episode is about finding back to your heart, about making peace with your body, and how to really feel best in yourself. A few things we talk about are her freedom update. How has her perception of freedom changed over the past year? What has happened in her year? We talk about, as I just mentioned, the embodiment of joy and freedom in everyday life, our connection to nature, traveling as a way of healing and finding back to ourselves, how coming home when the pandemic hit felt like for her, tips for finding freedom in lockdown, comfort zones and the difference between comfort and security, finding freedom in your body, not chasing instant outcomes and trusting the process, how Kat dealt with canceled plans, a key piece of life advice, how to deal with situations that trigger resistance in you, creating new perspectives, core and courage, letting go of overthinking, and the transformation that can come out of pain and destruction. And also, we're talking finances. And this is something I try to touch on in every Freedom Lifestyle edition, because a lot of people want to know, how do you do that? How do you uphold or sustain a lifestyle that entails a lot of freedom and that isn't connected to a permanent job or a permanent payslip? And her insights today are really a must listen for anyone who's struggling with financial worry due to the current situation. So there might really be a few good pieces in there that'll help you overcome your worry. All right, and now, without further ado, enjoy the sun-filled conversation.
So how was your morning so far?
My morning has been lovely. I woke up and I haven't meditated in a couple of days, so I just decided to go outside and sit and breathe for like 10 minutes. And every time I do it, I just question, why don't I do this every single day, you know? Like, even just 10 minutes, and it just helps you become more fully, you can fully embrace who you are. And yeah, just breathing with the wind and feeling the sunshine on my skin and drinking lots of water. And then I jumped in the ocean, and that's why my hair is still wet. It's been a very flowy morning.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I think it's perfect as an introduction for the second episode with you, Kat. Welcome back to the show. I'm really super happy to have you here today, because you were on the Freedom Lifestyle Edition pretty much exactly 1 year ago. And the title of the first episode with you was How to Create Joy and Freedom in Your Everyday Life. And over the past year, I feel that our connection has grown and I've been following you. And still, for me, you're this perfect embodiment of joy and freedom in your everyday life. And you also, for me, you bring out this, you literally radiate out this connection to nature with your barefoot walking. And so what you just said about sitting outside and then jumping into the ocean, that's just perfect. Happy to to have you back on the show for this freedom update today.
Yeah, it's really, looking back like a year ago, I just feel like we're both kind of going down these new paths and we weren't really sure where they were going to lead us. Like, you were just starting your podcast and what was I doing a year ago? I guess I was thinking about doing a retreat, but I didn't really have the substantial like plan or anything. And
I think you had a rough idea that you wanted to do it.
Yeah, because I had traveled like a few years before we met. And then I feel like this past year, like after we talked a year ago, my traveling was more to really just heal myself and not so much like look for external things to make me happier. Like I was in the jungle this past winter and I just remember feeling like I'm here for me, like this nature that's surrounding me right now. It's just helping me become more in tune with like who I am as a person and what I want to create in this world, rather than, I feel like when I was traveling in the past, it was more to like find something, like maybe find a partner, or like find a job or something to make me feel more secure. But this year, I just feel like I'm fully embracing like the flow of following my heart without looking for a certain outcome and just kind of being really present with everything that's around me. And especially when you're in the jungle and it's just like all green, which is for your anahata, your heart chakra, I just felt like my heart was constantly bursting open. And yeah, it's been a really beautiful year.
Oh, so beautiful. Yeah. So when was the last time? When have you been in the jungle last time? When was that?
Like before this time? Or
no, just
most recently.
The one you were referring to.
That was January, and then I got home in March because of COVID. My plan was to stay there and actually take Spanish school in Guatemala. But then I just had to fly home because I didn't want to be stranded there. And that's been a lesson too, just fully embracing where I am now, because I've been here since March in the house that I grew up in on Cape Cod with my mom and my grandma. And coming back here, part of me was questioning, like, am I going backwards? Like, am I not continuing on this path of growth? But I'm realizing that it doesn't really matter where you are. It's more like how you're feeling on the inside when you're there. And yeah, I've just been really connecting with nature here too, which has been so healing, and just jumping in the ocean as often as I can and going out to the forest. I'm like finding all these new places too that I didn't know existed around here. So it's been a new venture.
That's so beautiful. And it's so interesting that you're saying that coming back home, actually to your home where you grew up in. And I had a very similar experience coming back from New Zealand. I ended up in Germany in my parents' place in a good way. And it's funny because I talked to other people and they made similar experiences. And that's what we're also here for, to talk about today. Because I feel that there's a lot of new perceptions for us and also a lot of new perceptions regarding our freedom. So regarding our freedom, and you already touched on that, saying, oh, I came back home to my childhood home and I didn't expect this new feeling here. I thought I would find it somewhere else, but now I'm back and there's kind of a good surprise, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my travel journey kind of began when I felt like I could find something in the world that I was really looking for in myself. And the more that I traveled and like wasn't finding what I was looking for, the more I realized like, okay, there must be some more like inner work that needs to be done because this isn't working, what I'm doing now. And like, I remember when I taught my first yoga class, it was in a room with like 40 students in New York City. And it was an apprenticeship. So the head teacher, when she looked at me and just said, you're on, I remember feeling like I was about to just take a leap. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be caught or like how I was going to fall. But I knew that I had to take the jump because turning around and going back into my comfort zone was almost scarier than following my heart. So I just jumped right in and kind of didn't know what I was doing. And it was terrifying. But the more that I showed up and kept doing it and committing, the more comfortable I got with it. And I realized that you don't really grow when you stay in your comfort zone. That's what this whole journey of yoga teaching has taught me, is you can easily just like keep doing what you're doing if you're not fulfilled, but you're comfortable. And it's terrifying to step away from that routine. But if you're not fulfilled doing it, you're not really like living your truth and creating from your heart and living in a way that inspires you and is your passion. So I think too, there's a difference between comfort and security. Like you can be secure while you're having uncomfortable conversations, or you can be secure while you're trying something new and sucking at it at first. And that's kind of how I view my connection to the earth, because it's like your root chakra, your sense of confidence in your own body and like your connection to this planet, and just being more secure with what I'm doing in life and not trying to have like some certain outcome right away, because it's a process, but you got to just take that leap and trust that something will catch you.
I love what you're saying about not expecting an outcome right away. Mm-hmm. Because I feel this is still so ingrained in our Western societies that we expect that when we do something or want something, we have it straight away. But with a lot of things, it's not that case. And maybe these times right now are showing us that in a stronger way than usual, and forcing us to stay in a place or to be with something for longer. So I find that a good impulse, a good piece of food for thought for everyone. But I want to go back to when you were talking about, oh, coming home and how it was for you, and particularly how did your perception of freedom evolve being back home on Cape Cod?
I think really my perception kind of shifted before I even came home. It was in, I guess, February. I just discovered this freedom in my own body that I had never really felt before. Like, I recently posted something about my transformation from like 2016 to now and just my relationship with my body. Like, I was constantly, when I was living in New York, feeling like I was never skinny enough, or always, I was always comparing myself to like the other beautiful women around me. And I just I learned that that's living in like a scarcity mindset where you constantly feel like you're not enough versus living in a state of abundance where you feel like you embody everything that is, like the most beautiful flowers and trees and the sunshine, the earth, like you're a part of it all. Your body is not only yours, it is the earth, right? You come from it, and all the elements that make up the most beautiful landscapes, they also make up you and me. So I really, something about being in the jungle this winter, like really, it was almost like the trees were speaking to me, like just reminding me to be so present and conscious of my health. And like, I may not look like everybody else, but I'm still beautiful and unique, and to just really embrace that. And I think when you have that freedom in your body where you just say, this is me, like take it or leave it, this is who I am, then it doesn't really matter what other people think when they look at you or how they view you. I recently read a quote that was like, how people perceive me is not my problem. Like that's where they're coming from. And all I can do is move in a way that feels good for me and is in alignment with my heart, and to consciously respond to when things happen rather than just react. So I think really just finding freedom in my own body is what creates the foundation to grow into my fullest potential wherever I happen to be in the world. And yeah, I think it really just starts with embodiment and coming into this present moment and recognizing that the past and the future are just mere thoughts. Like life really only exists right now in this moment. So to focus on your breath and all the life around you, all the beauty that still exists.
Mm. Sorry, that was lovely.
I feel like I always go on these like tangents, and then you're like, where do I even begin?
No.
Stick to one thing.
But I'm curious, would you say, because you said actually my perception of freedom changed due to how I perceived my body and having this new body awareness or kind of making peace with my body.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say that this new perception helped you through these, or is still helping you in these challenging times right now?
Yeah, I mean, there have definitely been moments throughout the last few months where I've just been like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I'm stuck here, and I didn't have a job up until like this month, actually. And I was kind of just surviving off of basically what I made from the retreat in Guatemala in March. And then I had this grand plan of hosting another retreat in September, closer to home, just to kind of like create what I had created in Central America, but in a place that's more accessible to more people that I know. And then I had to cancel that, and like just a bunch of plans that I had to, like everybody else, just cancel them and really just be where I am. And at first I met that obstacle with anxiety and resistance, but I really started to recognize by diving within that doesn't help me, and it's preventing me from feeling good inside my own body, which is really why we're alive, right? To feel good inside our own bodies and like be kind to each other and be kind to ourselves. And I really wasn't doing that for the first couple months of this whole situation. So I think, I think just kind of coming into a state of acceptance and saying like, it doesn't help to resist what is, because this is happening. and you can't deny that or pretend that it's not. So to try and just allow it and know that it's not going to last forever, just like every emotion, I guess. Your emotions just constantly are coming and going, and the more that you resist how you're feeling, the more that that feeling will kind of persist and stay with you. So I think really just embracing what's happening and also being grateful for my health and that I have a safe space to be living in, that really has helped me. Just a state of gratitude and recognizing that yeah, I'm safe, I think really has driven me to where I am now.
I loved what you said about accepting what is. So just you said, oh, at first I was having this anxiety and resistance within me, but then looking at it, I knew I couldn't change it, or the only way I could change it was shifting it in that way that I feel good again. And I love that, because this is such a key piece of basically life advice. So if we all tuned into that more often, I think we'd all be so much happier. Coming back to ourselves, coming back to our bodies and looking at ourselves and asking ourselves, okay, how can I make the situation good for me so that I feel good?
It kind of reminds me of this proverb. I think it's a Chinese proverb where when the winds of change blow, some people build walls, others build windmills. So you can kind of use the change or whatever is happening to either propel you into like a new direction and trust that it's all unfolding as it's meant to, or you can block yourself off from life and feeling good and connecting with yourself and other people. And I think that's been a big thing too, is a lot of people are feeling disconnected from their communities or everybody around them because of all that's happening. And that can be really disheartening and can lead to, you know, depression or anxiety, because humans are social beings and we thrive off of connection. So yeah, for me, it's been helpful to like really call friends or like be present with my mom and my grandma. It's kind of fun living in a three generational household. But see, just really like
that are all these beautiful experiences we wouldn't have without this pandemic. So yeah. I'm not saying yay, we're having this. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes you're forced into situations that would never have happened otherwise, and
right,
that's nice.
And in a way, it kind of, it's not yay pandemic, it's just kind of like yay, this is happening, like how can I really connect with this and like learn in a way that I wasn't seeing before, because I was like running around and planning things and like just reaching out of my way. But now it's like, how can I connect just from where I am with the people around me? And my mom even said the other day, we were on a walk and she was like, people are so much nicer. Like, we live in a pretty conservative town and and a lot of the, even our neighbors wouldn't really say hi. But now like everybody is just like away from their normal distractions. So they're like, hey, a human, like, hello, you know? And it's been nice in that way to just kind of, yes, see the people right in front of you and not look so much around. Yeah.
And does it feel like coming back to your core in many aspects? Not just to your body, but you said, oh, okay, you can't make any plans at the moment. And we've also, before, we've talked about your new retreat that might happen or might not happen. And so does it feel for you like coming back to the core and focusing on things you wouldn't have focused on otherwise?
It's funny you use the word core, because the word courage derives from the Latin word cor, like C-O-R. I don't know if you knew this, but cor means heart in Latin. So like the word courage literally means heart, like it's coming from your heart. And in order to have courage, you kind of have to move from this space behind your sternum. And it's kind of where all your compassion and possibilities lie. And I think in order to really create your dreams and your ideas, you have to like build a strong foundation and come back to your core and really recognize like what do I want to create? How do I want to feel? Like, what kind of person do I want to be? And I think this whole COVID situation has kind of helped me just step back and kind of remember all of that. So
to me, you're always this perfect example of really being in touch with yourself and your whole being and your heart, your core. So for the people listening, do you have like two or three tips? How can, if I know there's a, with all of what's going on, people can be really stuck in their heads. That's something that I'm feeling. And I know a lot of people out there are feeling that they are kind of too much in their head. So what helps you to reconnect with your heart, with your core, and get out of your head and into your
heart? I was just thinking about this like exact question, but in my head. I wrote about it earlier.
Telepathy works.
yes. In Guatemala in March, we went to this Mayan fire ceremony. And the Maya priest was telling us that in order to enjoy life, you have to have a young heart. And that has stuck with me. Like, I think about it all the time, just because we have this innate child in all of us, but we so often just are worried about what other people are thinking, or like, is this socially normal, or am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? But when you just close your eyes, focus on your breath, come back to your heart, and just move in a way that feels good. If it's playful, or you want to cry, or you're stricken by grief, like whatever it is, just let yourself really be with it and fully embrace it and trust that it will pass. And I think in order to come back to your heart and like drop down into your heart away from your overthinking brain, for me, going out into nature, because as I said, the color green for your heart chakra, if you just kind of embrace all the trees and the grass and the plants and all this life around you and recognize that you're a part of it, that's really beneficial for me. And also recognizing the air, because the air is the elements of your heart. So it's kind of like how love is like air, it's infinite and it's within and all around us. So to kind of remember that no matter how much you love, you can never run out of it. So never regret like loving too much, even if somebody didn't respond in a way that you wanted, or whatever it is, you can always keep loving because you have an infinite source in the cave of your heart space. So
that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Love is like air, it can never run out. Oh my gosh, yeah. I want to write that down right now.
And you really, like, if you think about it, when you take an exhale, you don't like worry that you're not going to be able to breathe in again. So it's kind of like love, like you just let it go and just trust that it will come back without like trying to hold on to it, because yeah, it'll come back if you let it flow.
And do you have any tips on, because looking at it from an outside perspective, you would say, okay, we're living in a time of physical restriction. We can't go where we want to. We might be still quite and quite locked up in our houses. And then talking about freedom or having this idea of freedom, it might seem like opposites. What would you tell people, or what would be your tips for people to maybe find freedom in the situation, in the restriction they're in at the moment?
I think it was Nelson Mandela that said, you can put my body in prison, but you can't imprison my mind. Like, it's really about just recognizing that you have the power to come into this present moment and really just trust that you're here for a reason. Like, you're here in this human body, in this human form, to love. Like, there's really no other reason to exist. That's what I believe, at least, because you can almost feel it in your heart. Like, when you're resenting somebody or hateful or angry, it's like your heart is just tightening up and you can feel this wall building up. But when you're in a state of just like being in awe of all that is, like, sometimes I just go outside and stare up at the sky and I'm just like, I'm a part of this infinity. Like, I'm in this body, this physical body, yes, but beneath the physical body is my life force, your pranayama, and your connection to all that is. And so, I don't know, like, horrible things happen in the world and sometimes you wonder, like, why is that happening? Why is this happening to this person? Or why is this happening to me? And it can be really difficult to kind of accept what's happening. But it's almost like, if you look at, like, that tsunami that killed, like, thousands of people a few years ago, and was it Thailand? It's kind of like, you can't resent the tsunami. You can't resent, like, the earth for acting this way. It's a part of life. It happened, and you can't like pretend that it didn't or try and ignore it or resist it. And you just have to trust that everything is happening as it's meant to be. Like, the earth is this living, breathing planet. And if you look at things as horrible, then they are horrible. But if you look at it as just like kind of a part of life, like the transformation of, sometimes you need that fire to transform and have new growth. And I don't know, it's a touchy subject to talk about, because yes, horrible things are happening, but it's like, it's a horrible things happen in earth I don't know how to explain it, in nature, and we're a part of nature. So it's like, how can you use this fire to transform you and more fully embrace your power to love, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at, is the terrible things that happen can kind of help you develop your capacity for compassion and even empathy. Like, if something causes you pain, you can kind of feel that for other people who are also going through pain. Like, if you had never experienced pain, how would you be able to support somebody who is, or offer like a shoulder to lean on? You would just say, get over it, and not care. But I think when you can fully embrace the painful moments in life, you can recognize that you can, yeah, grow your ability to have compassion. I hope that made sense. I was kind of just rambling was in my brain, but
no, it did or it made sense. And I know, or I feel you, I felt you when you said, this is such a hard thing to talk about, actually, because there is destruction and there is pain, and how can I even say that's part of the natural cycle? But it is,
right?
And I think now, no matter how we perceive it in this moment, it's something we take with us and we can ponder on. And it's also something that's, I guess, that's been kind of denied in our societies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe it's like talking about death. You don't usually do that. You try to avoid the subject because it's so sad in our perception and it's the end of life. And but when we really go back to that thought that all the destruction is part of the bigger cycle of life, we can also see the change in all that's happening at the moment in another light. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still wrapping my head around that. It's not that I fully embraced that, but it's really interesting to look at things from a new perspective and with a new light, so to speak.
Mm. And we're all so vulnerable as human beings. Like, we're not going to be in these physical bodies forever. And I think the more often that you can try and remember, like, I could die today, the more vibrant life can look. Like, if you look at a sunset and think, this could be the last one that I'll ever see, maybe the colors will be a little bit more radiant. Or if you talk to your neighbor, like, this could be the last time that I ever see this person, you might be a little bit more kind. And I think sometimes we kind of wear these masks in public of what we think we should look like or what we think we should be saying or doing. But if you strip all that away, we're really just really vulnerable, sentient beings that just want to love and be loved. And that's all anybody really is looking for. All the people that are like angry and resentful and hateful, it's coming from a place of fear that they're not going to be loved or that they can't even love themselves. And I think the more that you can be kind and recognize that nobody is going to live even 100 more years, you know, and you don't really know the time of death. And I think a lot of people just think, oh, death is something in the faraway future, I don't have to worry about it right now. But like, you could get hit by a truck tomorrow, and people die every second, you know. They don't wake up and think, I'm gonna die today, but they do. And I think the more you realize how powerful your existence is and how transformative that pain can be, you can really, yeah, step into a place of compassion, which is where your heart dwells. And yeah.
Mm. Beautiful. So thinking about all of this and being faced with death or grief or uncertainty, what helps you anchor the most in these times?
I think really just being in my body, like we talked about, like just really feeling all the sensations that come with being a human. And you can only really do that when you're in the present moment. Like, if you're thinking about the future, worrying about what you've done in the past, you're missing like the air that's flowing into your lungs or the earth beneath your feet or the sunshine on your skin. And the way that, like, sometimes when you're eating food, you're thinking about like sending an email or walking your dog or something. You're missing, like, if you're eating an apple or something, you're missing the whole cosmos that exists in that single apple, you know, like the sunshine, the rain, everything it took to grow it and the flavor. And yeah, if you just come into the present moment and recognize that that's where everything is happening, then you can be a little bit more grounded, I think.
That's so poetic. And that's part of why I love you so much, because you can be so poetic and you're expressing yourself, be it here now on the podcast or if people want to check out your Instagram over there as well. It's, for me, it's really like looking at poetry in pictures and in words, and that's so beautiful.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's actually something I'm working on, like because I'm really, writing is my creative outlet, and I'm always very flowy when it comes to writing. But when it comes to speaking, sometimes I can like talk too fast or like try and get my point across too quickly that I miss like a lot of what I wanted to say. So I guess what I'm learning more recently now is to slow down and like really be more conscious of the words that I'm saying before I say them. So thank you for saying that though, because it reminds me to slow down.
Oh, you're welcome. So would you say slowing down is an aspect that has really come into your life or grown stronger over the past year since we last talked here on the show?
Yes. Like I think when you, even your connections with other people, like the greatest gift you can give to someone is your presence. You know, like if somebody's talking to you and you're kind of just thinking about other things or thinking about what you're going to say next, you're not really absorbing them, what they're trying to say, and you're not really allowing them to express themselves in a way that you can understand. But when you're just really present and looking in their eyes and listening to every word that comes out of their mouth, you can kind of take a breath when they're done speaking and then let your words come out. And I think that's something that I've worked on within myself too, is to just like take a breath and respond to what's happening to me rather than just try and like act on it. And yeah, it all starts with your inner relationship, and that kind of translates into how you relate to other people. So yeah, slowing down has helped me kind of better understand myself, which can help me better understand other people. So take a breath, slow down. That's my motto.
That's a good motto. I think, yeah, it is. Period. It is a good motto.
It's a good motto.
I absolutely love what you said about maybe not respond right away, but take a breath, take a moment, and let that sink in, what you just heard, and then respond. And
and even if, like, sometimes silence can be uncomfortable. Like I did on my retreat in Guatemala, I made all of the guests do this eye gazing. So I partnered them up and I made them just sit in front of me. I didn't make them, like I suggested that they did this, but they went along with it. Yeah. And I had them do this eye gazing where they literally just sit and stare into each other's eyes without saying anything, without saying anything. And it can be really, really vulnerable and kind of almost intrusive if you're not used to doing something like that, because how often do you just like stare into somebody's eyes without saying anything? You know, like if someone at the grocery store just came up to you and like stared you in your eyes, you'd be like, what's going on? But when you recognize somebody's eyes, you can kind of recognize that behind them is this sentient being, and it connects you on a deeper level and reminds you of their vulnerability too, and that they have all this pain and emotion and joy that they've experienced in life just like you. And sometimes I think we're the only ones that experience something, but like all these other humans around us also have this whole inner world that sometimes we forget to relate to. So yeah, I think eye gazing is really powerful, and just being really present with someone and recognizing that they're just as worthy of being here as you are, regardless of where they come from or what they're doing with their lives.
It's good that you're saying that, because before, when you were talking about the fear and that we are all in some state of fear, or that we can all relate to the same thing, there was something popping into my mind. I have another episode coming up and it's actually really interesting and it connects to this one really well. I'm seeing that now. Ooh. We're talking about breaking through patterns of uncertainty and fear. And well, I don't want to say too much, but I'll link to it in the show notes. And when it's not yet up, when this episode comes out, it will be at a lighter point. And so I guess it's a good thing to listen to afterwards, after this one, or vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of goes back to having courage versus being afraid, in terms of opening up your heart, because it does take courage to let someone really see you and to express who you really are, because you're kind of peeling away those layers of doubt and insecurity that you've built up over the years, just feeling like you're not enough or you're not going to fit in or no one's going to like you or whatever it is. And when you start to peel away those layers, it does take courage to kind of step into your innate sense of bliss and power and who you really are. And I think when you're letting someone in, by whether it's eye gazing or sharing a vulnerable story or whatever it is, it takes a lot of courage. But when you're living in fear, that's hindering you from really connecting with people and connecting with yourself even. So yeah, I think the more that you can just embrace who you are and how you're feeling and know that it doesn't really matter what you did in your past, you can start from right here with this breath and start to move in a way that feels better for you.
And because you said it takes a lot of courage to open up to someone, and it's interesting because sometimes, or the first step would be that someone is you, like opening up to yourself and admitting it to yourself.
That can be the hardest part, is just saying like, wow, I've been in this pattern for so long and I don't even know how to live like outside of it. But kind of going back to like taking that leap, I knew in my heart that I wanted to teach yoga, you know, something as simple as that sounds. I just was terrified of it. And I just knew that I didn't want to stay where I was. I wanted to grow and learn from this. And I just had to accept that I wasn't going to be this amazing teacher instantly. You just have to be okay with like sucking at something at first and just being more playful and kind of relieve the tension from your body. And
Playful is a great expression for this. And I think thinking of it not as doing something and failing, or doing something but not being perfect at it, but instead of, okay, I'm just gonna play with it, I'm just gonna try it and I'll see how I feel. And I think that's a good approach to so many things in life. I always thought that I can only go into action once I figured out everything 150%, but no, it's not the case. And for example, with this podcast, I'm so happy that I started it a year ago, because if I wouldn't have said, okay, now I'm going to do it, and probably I was still like overly perfect from an outsider's perspective, but from my own perspective, I wasn't 100% ready. I was like, okay, but I'm going to do it now. So, and for me, that was the push that I needed. And now I'm seeing how I can grow and develop, and it all comes along the way, and we don't have to have everything figured out in the beginning.
I love that. Yes. And I think control can sometimes be a defense mechanism to kind of protect yourself from jumping into something before you feel ready, but you're never really in control of what's going to happen anyway. You're in control of of what you're creating and what you're doing, but you're not in control of how other people respond or anything like that. So I think you can oftentimes say like, oh, I don't have enough control. I'm not ready for this. But that's just a way for you to like allow yourself to stay where you are. But when you kind of surrender and release control and trust that your heart will guide you to the lessons that you're meant to learn, then you can kind of take that first step and learn along the way, like you said. And I'm very grateful you did your podcast too, because I think it was the perfect time to start.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You just gave me the right buzzword, release control. And I want to shift gears a bit now. So in the first Freedom Lifestyle series, I asked, I think, all of my, or at least we touched on the point of finances. How do we as Freedom Lifestylers sustain ourselves? Because a lot of us, we're self-employed or we have like 3 or 5 jobs juggling around, and it can change from year to year or month to month. And you touched on it in the beginning of this conversation, saying, oh, I didn't have a job for a while. My plans, the retreat plans, they got canceled. What do I do now? So I know that this is a situation where a lot of people can freak out about, and especially, or maybe especially those who are considering living in a more free way. Mm-hmm. What helped you to have the faith or the trust that everything will work out in the end?
I think like the support of my family is what I've been super grateful right now for, because I am living in a stable home. You know, I've always kind of had this home to fall back onto, regardless of where I've gone in the world. I've moved around so many times, but I've always known in my heart that I have this place to come home to, which has been just, it's been really just supportive of my life in general. And I know I'm not going to stay here forever, but allowing myself to be here now and kind of be open to taking maybe a job that I know that I'm not going to be doing forever also. Like right now I'm nannying, like full-time nannying. So I have these two little minions that I bring with me everywhere. But, and I know that I'm not going to be a nanny forever, but I'm really just enjoying doing it. You know, I'm making the most of it. I could easily just like sit on the couch with them and watch TV all day, but we go from morning till night or early night, just like to the ocean, to the forest, on walks, like making lunch and doing arts and crafts. And I just like make the most out of it. And I think that like, if you're a chimney sweeper, like be the best chimney sweeper in the world, you know, like just try and find joy in whatever it is that you're doing. And I mean, that can be hard for people around the world that are obviously suffering in many ways. But for me, it just comes back to that sense of gratitude that I get to be nannying. Like it's not something that I dream of doing, but I get to be like outside doing things with the kids and like finding joy in the little moments. And I also teach yoga still online, and I'm starting to get private clients more because people are starting to come out of their houses again. And so I mean, they're smaller.
Sorry, you go.
Well, I was just going to say they're smaller classes, so it's a little different than before, but it's nice to be doing that again. And yeah.
I love what you're saying about doing what you're doing 150%, because this is like being fully present. And it reminds me of something that I read somewhere a while ago, and every now and then I remember it. It's like be present with what you're doing, be it like washing the dishes or walking in the garden or helping someone. And it kind of stuck with me. I'm far, far away from that, I'd say, but it's a good reminder. And I guess that's why I loved what you were just saying. And it mirrors your stance towards life and towards being here in this human body and in this earth experience 100%.
Yeah, and I think too, like, a lot of people are feeling really anxious and terrified because maybe they've lost their jobs and maybe they're struggling to just find a safe space to live. And the best thing I can do for myself and for others I've learned is to just really be grateful and find that healing within myself so that I can start to like heal or help the people around me, which it's like a ripple effect. You can't heal the entire world, but you can start with yourself from where you are. And it doesn't help to have guilt for the life that you have or where you are. It just, because that lowers your vibration and it stops you from being kind or helping people or living in that abundant state where you just feel like if you give love, you can get love back. And I think it can be sometimes hard when you try and take on all the suffering in the world and say like, what do I do with this or how do I help? But the best thing you can do is just start with where you are, with what you have and with what you know, and know that like a lot of people are in fear, so to have more patience, because when you're in fear sometimes you can be hateful or angry and kind of project that onto other people. So whenever I come across that, I'm kind of just take a deep breath and say like, okay, how can I have more patience? How can I send this person some compassion? And yeah, it really just starts with yourself and finding just the joy and being where you are.
That's great advice. That's a good piece. Connecting to that, do you have, or what could each of us do today to create a freer and more empowered life? And that means creating a freer and more empowered version of ourselves first.
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to like the type of job you have. Like some people don't have the ability to just like quit their job and move to Australia or move to Bali or wherever they want to go. And like some people have families and life crises that are happening, and you can't just tell someone, oh, just quit your job and travel. Like that, it's not realistic for a lot of people. So I think freedom, it doesn't necessarily mean like being this wild traveler who just goes with the flow, man. You know, you gotta like find that freedom, like I said, wherever you are. And that might mean just being grateful for a deep breath, like putting your head out the window or going for a walk and getting outside and just recognizing your health or your two feet or your two legs or whatever you have, knowing that some people don't have that, or that you get to be in this human form and you get to love people, you get to feel the sensations that come with being in this body. And that's really what freedom is to me more and more. It's not so much like not having any, like letting go of your what feels like restrictions and kind of just being truly where you are, not feeling like you're stuck there, but just really being there because that's where you are, and moving from that place towards where you want to be. And maybe that's just how you want to feel, like moving towards where you're more deeply in your heart and feeling better in yourself so that you can, more deeply connect with other people and and even nature. Like, I feel like when you connect with yourself, you can more deeply connect with the beauty around you, like the trees and all the flowers. And you really can't see the beauty unless you feel it within. So yeah, I think it's just feeling the beauty within you and feeling your power and knowing that you're alive. Like, what are the chances that you're in this body, you know, floating in infinite space? And we're all here together. The other thing is, like, we're all here in this time together. Like, there will never be this exact mix of people at this exact moment. So it's like, how can we just respect each other more and know that we're all vulnerable? We all have emotions and we're all just trying our best to, like, figure out life, what we're doing here. Because we all know that we're not going to be here forever, you know, but sometimes we forget that. And
Oh, thank you for this. That was beautiful. Again, beautiful. And I think also so valuable for a lot of us at the moment, where we can't go somewhere far and we have to deal with where we're at. So I think these words can really help to, yeah, kind of make peace with that.
Yeah, and making peace.
And I have one last question. Who inspired you most lately? Is there someone or something?
I went to, so there was a full moon Saturday night, and I went to a sound bath, like meditation. It was outside at my friend's house, and I hadn't seen her in probably, like, I guess since the winter. And something about being there, laying outside and listening to this beautiful vibration of, she had like gongs and Tibetan singing bowls and all this magical sound around me. Something about being in that moment, like, I felt so fully present, like more so than I had felt in a really, really, really long time. Like, the wind felt like Mother Nature was just like softly caressing me, and and I just felt like my body completely surrendering. And then I realized that she inspired me so much, because she kind of like created this like gathering of all these beautiful people, and we were all just here in this moment. And I opened my eyes at one point and saw the guy next to me put his hands on his, one on his heart, one on his belly. And he was just laying there with like a subtle smile on his face. And I was just like, how beautiful that as humans, we can create these spaces for people to just like come and be and feel and be present with themselves. So she really inspired me. Her name is Crystal. She's one of my dear friends. And she also reminded me like why I wanted to become a teacher in the first place, because such a powerful thing to create that space for people and allow them to just feel however they're feeling and really be okay with that. And also just, it doesn't have to be some guru that inspires you, you know. It reminded me like, wow, she inspires me today just as much as like Ram Dass did yesterday, or whoever it is, you know. Like, everybody can inspire you, and
yeah,
we all have something to share.
Definitely, and that's why I'm asking this question, because yeah, it doesn't always have to be Ram Dass or I don't know, Oprah Winfrey, but it can be someone
like your neighbor, you know, yeah, just anybody. You just have to connect with them in order to really like learn them.
Yeah. And you also just touched on something that I find very inspiring for closing words. For me, feelings and connection stuck out in what you were just saying. And at least for me personally, at the moment, it feels like a time to really reconnect more, even more, and to feel more, to not be that caught up in my head, but to really feel and what I'm feeling.
Yes, I love that. Because when you do have all those thoughts in your head, it clutters your clarity, you know, like your mm-hmm. bliss. Yeah. You're just ridden with like anxiety and stress. So to try and just let those thoughts go, even one by one, just say this doesn't have to last forever. I don't have to hold on to it. Yeah, it's a practice coming into the present moment.
Oh, thank you so much, Kat, for everything, for sharing all of this, for again being so open and really inspiring us to live with more joy and freedom and connected with nature and our true nature.
Thank you for having me. You always inspire me with your questions. Like, you know, when someone asks you a really good question and then you have to like think about it. So thank you.
Oh yeah, I know these moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't answer that straight away. I have to think about it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Those are the questions that you want to like see more in life, you know, where you really have to think about the answer rather than just saying like, hey, how are you? You know, it's like, no, really, how are you?
Mm-hmm. What did I just want to say? Yoga. You said you're teaching online as well.
Yes.
Where can people find you?
Usually my Instagram is where I post the most often, like my classes and everything. So inner is outer on Instagram.
Great. So I'll put a link to Instagram in the show notes. I'll put a link to your website in the show notes. And when you know about future retreats, people can also find all info there, I guess.
Yeah, I am doing the one in January as of now. So in Costa Rica, January 23rd.
Sounds tempting.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Cool. So I make sure there are all the links in the show notes and people can reach out to you. And yeah, I guess that's it for today with the Freedom Update. I'm really excited to do this. I have a few people from the first Freedom Lifestyle series coming up for a second time and giving an update, reflecting on freedom in these weird and intense times. And again, thank you so much for being part of this and for bringing our freedom to life.
Thank you for having me.
Coming out of our conversation with Kat, I always feel so much lighter and more at ease, and I hope you're feeling the same after listening to this. Thank you so much for tuning in, and if you liked this show, if you liked this episode, let us know what inspired you most. Send us an email, there's a link to my email in the show notes, or hop over to Instagram and leave a comment there. We're really curious to hear what inspired you most and what maybe made you smile today and made your life easier. And also, if you like this episode and you think it's a good one to share, then please share it, please do so, forward it to friends or to a family member, and also share it on your social media. And one more favor, if you're listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you do me a huge favor and you'd immensely support this podcast by leaving a 5-star rating. So hit the subscribe button, then click on the 5 stars, and then also write a little review. This really helps to inspire more people to tune in, and it also helps me to grow this podcast and to bring out more episodes and to further evolve this mission of freedom and empowerment and reconnection. Thank you so much, and I'm wishing you all a very happy and sunny day.